We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachas, Choshen Mishpat, Hilchas Gevias, Choyev Mehayisaimim, Halacha Dalet, Paragraph Tes. In this halacha, and also in a few previous ones, Rav Nosson Zal touched on the topic of Shavua, giving us enlightenment as to how holy an item this is when a person swears according to the Torah. And in the previous Shir, we quoted the Pasuk, Uvoi Sidbok Uvishmoi Tishoveya. To Hashem, you will become deeply attached, and in His name you will swear. Those two items are put next to each other to show that swearing is a form of a very deep attachment to Hashem, this dveikus to Hashem. And Rav Nosson Zal spoke about it in the previous paragraph, paragraph Ches. Now he continues, paragraph Tes, V'alkein hishbia Yaakov es Yosef, based on this, we'll understand why Yaakov Avinu made Yosef HaTzadik swear that he'll take Yaakov Avinu's body to Eretz Yisrael. V'chein Yosef hishbia le'echov, and so too Yosef HaTzadik had his brothers swear that they'll bring him to Eretz Yisrael. Ki ikar haklolius ubitul el ho'ein soif, because the main ability to merge with Hashem and to nullify oneself to the infinite light of Hashem is brought about by being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Sheshom ho'ofor kodesh, in Eretz Yisrael, the earth, the land is holy. Vishom zoichin beloy tsar lihikol el shom. And a person who's privileged to be buried in Eretz Yisrael is zoche, upon burial, to plug into this infinite light of Hashem without pain. Avol Yaakov v'Yosef machmashen istalku b'Mitzrayim shehu beis avodim, whereas Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik, who both passed away in Egypt, which is referred to as beis avodim, the place where the Jewish people were kept enslaved. Sheshom Iker Achiza Zua Masanoch. That's also the place where the snake, the tumah of the snake, is strongest. Shehu Pegam Ho Arbo Yesoidois, which represents the defectiveness of the four elements of creation. Shenikroim Avodim, which are called Avodim. The Eish Ruach Mayim Ofer, Rabbein Azal shows in chapter 4 in Likutei Moran, at the end, he refers to the Pasuk Mibeis Avodim, and he quotes the Sifrei Kabbalah that tell us that these four elements, which are the basis of the creation of the physical world, they are referred to as Avodim, servants of Hashem in a sense. Bifrat Oz, and especially at that time, Shehoyotzorech Lahaschil Hagolus, when the major exile of the Jewish people was about to begin, Shehu Hisgabrus Memshaltom Shelamitzrim, which means that the Egyptians would become powerful. They would be the Memshala, the kingdom would be in their hands. Sheheim Hapegam Shel Harbo Yisoidos, they symbolize the negativity of the four elements. Bechinas Avdus, which is called slavery, servitude, Hehepech mamish mehabitul v'haklolius bo'er ho'en soif, which is the exact opposite of plugging into the infinite light of Hashem. Mitzrayim is the opposite of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is called Govoya mikol harotzois, the highest of all the lands. Mitzrayim is the opposite. It's all the way down on bottom. Eretz Yisrael is holiness connecting to the infinite light of Hashem. Mitzrayim is the opposite of all of that. So because of this, al kein lo yrotzu lismoich al haftocho levad sheyavtichum lahaloysa mishom. For this reason, Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik were not willing to rely on just a promise. You know, their family is giving their word that they would do this, that they would take them out of Mitzrayim, bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Ki choshishu, because they were afraid, Shemachmas toikef his gabrus zuamosom, that maybe as a result of the fact that the tumah of Mitzrayim was so powerful at the time and becoming more powerful, yizgabru v'lo yanichu oisam laloi sulikover boretz, the tumah would strengthen, it would become strong and would not allow their family to take them up and bury them in Eretz Yisrael, lehikolel shom b'mokim shetzrichem lehikolel, and thereby be able to plug into where they need to plug into, the Oyer Ein Sof of Hashem. Alkein tiknu zois al yidei hashvua daika. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik corrected this. They took the proper steps through by making the family swear. Shehishbia Yaakov leYosef. Yaakov Avinu made Yosef HaTzadik swear. V'chein Yosef leEchov. Ki hashvua hu bechinas hiskashrus ubitul el hoein soif. Because swearing, that itself, makes a strong connection and nullification to the infinite light of Hashem. Again, uvoi sidbok uvishmoi tishovea. V'alkein al yidei hashvua daika. And therefore, by swearing, which is in itself a deep connection to this infinite light of Hashem, bevadai yiskaimu divrehem, that would ensure that their instructions would definitely be fulfilled to take them up out of Egypt and to bury them in Eretz Yisrael. And there, that to have their souls be able to plug into the infinite light of Hashem. Because a shvua, an oath, is also a form of making this deep connection to the infinite light of Hashem. Paragraph Yud. V'ze b'chinas ma sheshomati mipi ha-chaverim sheshomu me-rabenu ha-noirazal eitzo al-achara histalkus. Rav Nosson Zal says this could also clarify something that I heard from my friends who had heard this from Rabbeinu Zal, that Rabbeinu Zal gave advice as to how a person could take out insurance that after they pass away, the angels will not be able to railroad them and take them to any places that they don't want to go to. They'll be able to force the issue to insist that they want to go to their rabbi. They want to go to their source. What's the advice? Sheyishova shvua benikitas chefetz, that the person should swear while holding a sefer Torah that they want only to go to the tzaddik, that after they're passing away they want only to go to the tzaddik. This is an eitzah that Rabbeinu Zal gave to ensure a person, because the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus write that when a person passes away there's all kinds of angels getting involved, good ones and bad ones. And the bad ones want to try to reroute the person, to take the person to the wrong places, to see to it that the person should not get to their final resting place in Gan Eden. They shouldn't get to Tzadikim, they should get to other places. And this is one of the ways of ensuring, by a person swearing while holding a Sefer Torah, that he wants to go only to the Tzadik. This is a way of guaranteeing that. Interesting, this question's been brought up many times, whether we do this or not, and I've heard from some of the elders of Breslov that on Simchas Torah, Simchas Torah is a time when every Jew holds the Torah. That's an opportunity for a person to say this, to say that I declare my connection, my hiskashrus to the tzaddik, and I don't want to go anywhere else. When I go, that's where I want to go. I want to go straight to the tzaddik. Paragraph Yud Aleph, because again, a shvua itself is a form of this dveikus to the Oyer Ein Sof, connecting to the highest place possible, which a soul wants to connect to. Paragraph Yud Aleph, and with this, Rav Nosson Zal is going to close this halacha with this final discussion. V'ze b'chinas masham Rabbi Seinu Zal, hekdish, chometz, v'shichrur, Mafkiin midei shibud. This will also explain why our rabbis tell us that when Shimon borrows money from Reuven, $10,000, and they write a shtar, a dot contract, and all of Shimon's properties are liable to cover for that loan. If the time comes when Shimon has to pay back the $10,000 and he doesn't have it, his properties, all of his possessions, are bound, have a lien on them towards that loan. But the Gemara says there are three exceptions to this. One is Hekdish. If Shimon declares his possessions as belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, if he gives it away to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no personal loans on that. That's one option. The second is Chametz on Pesach. We know that Chametz on Pesach is not yours. It becomes ownerless. It's not yours. And the third is Shichrur. Let's say Shimon had servants. He had slaves. And those slaves have a value. They're worth something. If Shimon frees his slave, if he's Meshachrer his slave, then the lien that Reuven had on him doesn't apply there anymore. And the Gemara discusses this. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to show how all three of these relate on a spiritual level to what we're speaking about here. Ki ikar hashibud hu nimshach mibechinas pegam hu arbo yesoidois shelin izbararu adayin shein bechinas avodim kanal. We learned earlier that when a Jew is struggling financially and has to take a loan and has to go into debt, that's a result of the curse, the original curse that Hashem gave when Adam and Chav ate from the Eitz Hadas. You're going to struggle. That includes all of these loans and debts, which are all related to a pigam in the four basic elements of creation that was not yet repaired, that wasn't yet corrected. And those four elements are referred to as avodim, we said, as servants. Shemishom nimshach dachkus haparnosa. That's the source, that's the cause of the struggle for earning a livelihood and the financial struggle that people undergo in this world. Shemishom kol hahalvois. That's the cause of all loans. Bechinas eved loive lishmalve. As the Pasuk says, a borrower becomes a servant to, a slave to, the lender. So we see that loans, debts, are a form of avdus. And avdus is that part of that curse that was given at the time of the Eitz Hadas. V'alkein hekdish mafkin midei shibud. Therefore, if a person gives over all of his gold or all of his possessions, let's say, to the Beis HaMikdash, that interrupts, that breaks the connection from the lender to that item. Ki elu hashloisha hekdish, chametz, and shichrur, heim hahepech me'ashibud. These three are the opposite of what the lien represents, what the obligation represents. Ki heim bebechinas hiskashrus ubitul elhoein soif. Because these three are different forms of attaching one's possessions to the infinite light of Hashem, shehu hahepech mi'avdus, which is the opposite of servitude or slavery. Dehainu, shehein bebechinas tikun hu arba yisoidus. These three represent the repair, the rectification of the four elements, shaydeze zoichin lehizbatel ulikolel bo'er hoin soif. And we learned earlier, when a person is zoicha to be misakin the four yisoidos, then they're able to connect with the infinite light of Hashem. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to take each one separately. Ki hektish zebechinas bitel el hein soif. When something is given over to the Beis HaMikdash, that's a form of nullifying that item to the infinite light of Hashem. Sheze ikar hahekdish. This is the whole concept of holiness, declaring something holy. Sheyesh koyach biyad ha'odom lahakdish kedushas haguf v'habehema ukiyotze. Whereby a Jew has the ability to take a cow, to take an animal, and to declare that physical animal as holy, as belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, for a korban. V'ze machmas shebe'emes, kol dovor shoroshoi v'chiyusoi me'oir ho'en soiv, shu Hashem Yisborach Baruch Hu. And the reason why this is possible is because everything in this world is rooted in the infinite light of Hashem. That's where it all began from. V'chol dovor tzorech lachzor l'shoroshoi. And everything is supposed to return to its source, to its origin, to that infinite light of Hashem. V'hakoil b'yad ha'odom. And all of this is within the power of a human being. Shebishviloi nivra hakoil, whereby all of this was created for man. Kedei sheyachzor v'yichloil hakoil b'shoroshoi b'oir ho'en soif. Because man is the one who has the ability to take everything in this physical, materialistic world and elevate it and plug it back into its source, this infinite light of Hashem. V'alkein yesh koyach b'yad ha'odom lahakdish kol dovor. And this is why a Jew has the ability to declare anything in this world as holy, an animal, a gold, a piece of gold. Ki tekev kishemaktish hadovar bidiburoi, because as soon as the Jew declares that item as hektish, niskasher hadovar miyad lo'or ho'en soif, he is plugging that item immediately into the infinite light of Hashem, shehu shoyresh kol hakedushois, which is the source of all types of holiness, v'shom kuloi kodosh, and up there, there is only holiness, nothing else. Kama shekosov, as the pasuk says, ki kodosh ani Hashem, because I Hashem am holy. So that kavyochol Hashem in His purest form, in His holiest form, up there in the Oyer Ein Soif, is just wall-to-wall holiness. And that's where everything originates from, and that's where everything is supposed to plug back into. V'ze ikar ha-hekdish sheyesh koyach b'yad ha'odom la'asos midivrei choyl koydish. And this is the whole concept of hekdish, where a Jew has the ability to take something that is not holy, something that seems to be completely nothing to do with holiness, and make it holy by attaching it, al yidei shemekashroi u'mevatloi b'oir ho'en soif, by connecting it and nullifying it to that infinite light of Hashem, shehu shoyresh hakoil, which is the source of everything. U'bishvil ze nivra kol dover. And this was actually the purpose of Hashem creating everything, kedei sheyachzor v'yuchlal b'sharoshoi b'oir ho'en soif, that everything should go through a yerida letzor chalia. Everything should come down to this physical world, this place of darkness and everything, and through the free choice of man, by man making the proper choices in life, have the ability to take all of those things from this incredible yerida, from the oilam ho'asiya, from the lowest of places, and reattach them, reconnect them to the Oyer Ein Soif, to the infinite light of Hashem, with a higher degree of shleimus. Person would say, so hold on, it started up there, you're putting it back up there, so what did you accomplish? The answer is, by coming down and going back up, we've accomplished worlds. It's a different level of perfection completely. V'hakoil al yedei ho'odom. And all of this can only be accomplished through man. Human beings are the ones who have the ability to do this. V'alkein, ikar ha-hektish al yedei ha-dibur. And this will explain why in order for something to become kodesh, you have to declare it. You have to say, I'm making this into a shlomim, I'm making this into an oila, into a chatos. I'm donating this to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to say it. Why? Because Rabbeinu Zal explained in chapter 4 in Likutei Moran, which this halacha is based on, ki kol hadvorim nivru al yedei hadibur. Everything was created through speech. Hainu al yedei tmunois ha'oisiois, through the shapes and forms of the letters that formed the words that Hashem used with which to create. Shemishom kol hayeshus, That's what created all the physicality, all the materialism, v'chol haritzonos, and all of Hashem's desires were expressed in what he created, the different things that he created, that were all created with words and letters, and the shapes of the letters, the shapes have had a major effect on what was created by them. Rabbeinu Zal once said that a person who would know Lashon Kodesh well enough could, without ever having seen a lion in his life, by looking at the letters of the word Aryeh, would be able to tell you, write a book for you on a lion. Tell you everything about how a lion looks, how it behaves and everything, from the letters of the word. Because the letters have in them this infinite light of Hashem, this Oir Ein Sof, which Hashem brought down into the forms and shapes of these letters, and this is what he used to create. This is what was used to create the lion, and to create gold, and to create all the different things. So Hashem's Rotzoin is melubosh, is cloaked in these letters. V'chol haritzoinos, and all of Hashem's individual desires, sheheim nimshochim me'rotzoin ein soif, which all come down from Hashem's infinite desire, from that Oir Ein Sof, she'ein boi tmuna, which has no shape or form, up there in infinite, there's no shape or form whatsoever, she'sham kulay kodesh, there's only holiness, pure holiness, v'al kein, and therefore, tekev kishe koirei olav shem kodesh bediburoi, as soon as a Jew declares this object as holy, niskasher hachius shaloi, then the spiritual life of that item, shehu tmunas oiseis hadiburim, which is the letters, the shapes and forms of the letters that represent that item, Shehim Bechinas Ritzoinois, which are an expression of the will of Hashem. Hashem wanted the lion to be like this. He wanted a door to look like this, you know. Berotzoin Ein Soif. They plug into the infinite will of desire of Hashem. She'ein Boitmuno, which has no shape or form. Shesham Kulay Kodosh, where there's only holiness. Shesham Shoiresh Kol Hadvorim. And that's the origin of everything. Vishom choizer v'nichlal hakoil. And everything eventually plugs into there. Nimtza, we see therefore, shehektish hu bechinas hiskashrus ubitul bo'or ho'en soif. That hektish is a form of nullifying and attaching things to the infinite light of Hashem. Shehu hepech ho'avdus, which is the exact opposite of slavery, servitude. The opposite of that, of eved. Hepech pigam ho'arba yesoidos. It's the opposite of the defectiveness of the four elements. Shenikroim avodim, which are referred to as avodim, servants. V'alkein. Ha-hektish mafkia midei shibud shel achoyiv. And therefore, when an object is declared hektish, it's taken out, it is removed from any obligations of debts. Shehu bechinas avdus, which is a form of servitude, slavery. Eved loive lishmalve. Bechinas eved loive, exactly. Okay, so that's one example, the hektish. V'chein chometz mafkia midei shibud. And so too chometz, bread, things like that, or whiskey, that's chometz, you know, beer, that's chometz. When Pesach rolls along and the Isra of chometz applies, any lien that was on that disappears. Ki isur chometz hu bePesach. We know when are we forbidden to have chometz on Pesach. She'oz hoitzionu Hashem yisborach mimitzrayim. That's when Hashem took us out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of servitude. Ve'ikar hagula shel mitzrayim hoiso al yedei she'oz nizgale oiroi hagodol yisborach behizgalus nifla. And what got us out of Egypt was the fact that Hashem took away the curtain. he revealed a blast of incredibly, incredibly high light on the night of Pesach. Kimavur bekavonos, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal. This super bright light that was that Hashem revealed on the night of Pesach. That's why we say korev yoim asher hu lo yoim v'lo laila, that there's coming a day which is not day or not night, you know, just pure light. That's why it's a leil shimurim. We don't have to lock the doors because there's an incredible bright light of Hashem that's revealed in. And that's what was really responsible for us going out of slavery, out of Egypt. As the Pasuk says, V'ovarti be'eretz Mitzrayim. And I passed through the land of Egypt. The Targum says, V'isgelesi. I was revealed in the land of Egypt. I reveal the full measure of my light, billions of watts. Hainu she'oz niftach lohem oyer hoin soif bezgalus nifla. On the night of Pesach, there was revealed this infinite light of Hashem in an incredible revelation. Vaydeze zochu legula. And that's what brought about the redemption. Remember, we mentioned that the word go'al, ge'ula, redemption, in atbash is keser. When you reverse the first letter of the alphabet with the last letter, the second from the beginning, the second from the end. So again, Geula is a revelation of this highest, highest light, the crown. Vaydeze zochu la Geula. Through this we were zocher to the redemption. Ve'oz nesar chometz. And it's then when this great, great light was revealed that chometz became forbidden to us. Because of the fact that we had not made enough preparation to deserve being redeemed, to be worthy of it, to qualify for it. But rather, Hashem broke all the rules. He didn't wait for us like he usually does. First you make all the preparations, do what you're supposed to do, and then I'll do my part. Usually that's what Hashem says. But by Pesach, Hashem didn't do that. Pesach, he skipped over. He passed over the dileg, and he jumped over the date when we were supposed to go out. Ugaolam koidem zmanam, and he took us out of Egypt before the time that we were supposed to leave. V'nizgal Elohim oyer ho'ein soif, koidem sheniskatshu koroi lazeh. And this great infinite light of Hashem was revealed to us before we had prepared ourselves and sanctified ourselves to be really worthy of receiving it. Al kein asurim b'chometz b'mashu. And that's why we are not allowed to touch, we're not allowed to have the slightest contact with the slightest drop of chometz. Kidei shelo yifgimu, kidei shelo yipogmu, klei hamoichin, al yidei achilas chometz chas v'shalom. So that our brain should not become spoiled, harmed, by eating chometz. V'lo yuchlu lekabel oyer hazricho shel horishimu mi'abitul. Thereby not allowing us to receive the benefit. When a person receives that super bright light for a few seconds or a few minutes, it disappears afterward. The light disappears totally. So what is the person left with? They're left with an imprint, a reshimu of that light, which is passed down into the brain of the person, into the chachma and bina and das. Notice the keser is something that at times we can reach up, we can jump up to it and try to make contact with it. But there's no way in the world we can grab onto it and really make a permanent connection there. So when this infinite light was revealed, it was a big blast of light with the intention that when that light would be removed, an imprint of it would remain with us in our brain, which would be enough to carry us for the next 50 days until Matan Torah, until we would receive the Torah on Har Sinai, etc. But because of the fact that our brain was still defective, we had not done everything we needed to purify our brain to prepare, therefore, chametz, which represents something questionable, something harmful, any contact with chametz could damage our brain totally, so we would not be able to benefit at all from that reshimu. af gam yischametz levavam al yedei ze yoiser. And in addition, we know the word chametz is used regarding the brain, and the word chametz is used regarding the heart, chimutz halev. These terms are used throughout Tehillim and in other places. So if we were to have any contact with chametz then, that would spoil our brain. Chametz means when something becomes sour, sourdough, or vinegar, wine turns to vinegar, it spoils. Any contact with any of that spoilage could mess things up completely at that time. Machmas she'enon re'uyim adayin lozeh. Because of the fact that we have not yet made the proper preparations to be worthy of receiving that light. It was given to us as a freebie, a gift, you know, breaking all the rules. Alkein tzrichen li zoheroz michometz b'mashehu. It's for this reason that Hashem requires us to avoid even the tiniest drop of chametz. Kedei sheyuchlu lehikolel ba'or ein soif. So that we should succeed in connecting with that infinite light, because that's what brought about the redemption at that time. And every single year when Pesach rolls around, we experience that again on a spiritual level. And it's for this reason that chametz also, the Isra of chametz, takes something out of the obligation, out of the lien that the lender has on the borrower. Ki isur chametzu kedei sheyuchlulu lehikolel ba'or ho'en soif. Because the reason why we are cut off, we are blocked from chametz, the reason why we can't have contact with chametz at that time is so that we should be able to plug into that infinite light of Hashem, shenizgalos bePesach, which is revealed then on Pesach, b'shas yitzias Mitzrayim, at the time that we left Egypt, behizgalos nifla, in an incredible revelation. V'alkein, hu mafkia midei shibud. So we see that chametz, the fact that we have to abstain from chametz is part of the process of us connecting with that infinite light, which is the opposite of debts. It's the opposite of debt and loan. V'alkein hu mafkia midei shibud, shu b'chinas avdus. And that's why it takes the item out of the lien, out of the obligation, which is a form of servitude, slavery. Eved lo yivel ishmalve again. So that's the second item that breaks the shibud. V'chein shichrur mafkia midei shibud. And so to a servant, an eved knani, who is in the possession of a lova, a borrower, at the time he loaned, you know, he borrowed all his money. And now we know that if the lender comes to collect and the borrower doesn't have cash, he'll take one, he'll take 10 servants. And that'll be in place of the payment. But if the servants are released, if they're freed, then they're not included in the shibud. Ki shichrur hu bitul hu avdus. Because freeing a slave is a form of doing away with slavery, servitude. Ki meshachrer hu eved v'yoytze l'cheirus. He goes out to freedom. V'oz yoytze hu eved miyad avdus. And at that point, that slave goes out of the category of Eved, v'nase Yisrael. He becomes a Jew. We're talking about an Eved Kanani, right? Who, while he's Eved Kanani, he has the mitzvahs, he has to fulfill the mitzvahs of a woman. When he's released, when he's mishuchrar, he becomes like a Jew. Ukdushas Yisrael bechlal, he bebechinas bitul el hein soif. And the holiness of a Jew is all about being able to be nullified to that infinite light of Hashem. Ki kol Yisrael klulim b'moshe al yedei kabbalas haTorah. Because by the Jewish people receiving the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu, all of us plugged into Moshe Rabbeinu. We connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shehu zocho lehikolel boir hoin soif. And Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to negate himself, to nullify himself completely, and to be able to plug into that infinite light of Hashem, ve'imoi kol Yisrael, and together with him, all the Jews that are were connected to him, they all plugged in via Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol echad kefi chelkoi b'hatoyra u'b'moshe. Each and every single Jew, according to their portion of Torah, according to their connection to the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu, kein zeicher lehikolel boyer hoin soiv. To that degree, the Jew is able to plug into and connect with that infinite light. V'al kein, and therefore, shichrur, when the baror, when Shimon frees his slave, shehu bitul avdus, which takes him out of the category of avdus, v'zoicha lekedushas Yisrael, and it elevates that slave now to the point of being a Jew, a full-fledged Jew, al kein mafkia midei shibud. That takes him out of the category of this lien, this financial obligation, shehu bechinas pegam ho avdus v'kanal, which we said before, the whole concept of debts and loans and all of that is a reflection of avdus, slavery, servitude. Baruch Hashem. Rav Nosson Zalei adds now, ubeinyan isur chametz bePesach, regarding this topic about chametz being forbidden on Pesach, yesh adayin harbe levayer. There's still a lot that needs to be explained. Va'ayin lekamon. You'll take a look about 20, 30 pages from here. Behilchas apoitiki halacha beis al pia toira hanal mevur ktsas meinze. That halacha in Likutei Halachos is also going to be based on this same chapter of Likutei Moharan. And Rav Nosson Zal says there, I'm going to explain much clearer the whole topic of chametz on Pesach. Baruch Hashem. Halacha hei, habo lipora minichse yisoyimim lo yipora ele b'shvua. A person who's coming to collect a debt from an estate that's been passed on to orphans can only collect if he swears first. If he swears that their father never paid him back, that he did not receive any payment to this loan whatsoever in the past. Ve'inyin hadin ein odom moirish shvua neged yisoyimim levonov. And also regarding the halacha that a person cannot pass on a shvua, the lender now cannot pass on the right to swear to his descendants. If he dies, his descendants cannot come to court and swear, you know, against yesoimim, against orphans of the borrower. Imeis loive b'chaye hamalve. If the borrower passed away while the lender was still alive, and the lender did not come to court, he did not swear in court that he did not receive any payment, and then a couple of days later, a couple of months later, a couple of years later, the lender dies, but still he has sons, and they remember hearing that their daddy had once lent the other guy's daddy $100,000, and he probably never paid it back. Those, the descendants of the lender, cannot come to court and swear if their father didn't do it. If the borrower died while the lender was still alive, out. Al pi ha-Torah ki marachamim yenagim. And this halacha will be explained based on chapter 7 in the second half of Likutei Moharan. Paragraph Aleph. V'haklal ki ha-parnoso v'ha-momoin v'ho-ashirus nimshach miklolius hasogois ben v'talmid shehein bechinas ha-oras dorimato v'dorimalo shehein bechinas hasogois v'ha-orois meloicholores kevoidoi v'aye mekoim kevoidoi. In that chapter on the Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about two levels, two different levels. A level that's referred to as the son, S-O-N, and a level that's referred to as the student. We know the Gemara says, there's a pasuk, asher ein chalifus lomoi, a person who did not replace himself, who didn't leave a replacement for himself. And the Gemara says there's a debate between two rabbis as to what that refers to. One rabbi says it refers to a son, leaving behind the son. The other rabbi says it refers to leaving behind a student. A student is also. And in that chapter in Likut Imran, Rabbi Nizal goes back and forth showing how a son is a student. V'shinantam lavanech. What are you supposed to do with a son? Buy him toys? Eat him? No, you're supposed to teach a son Torah. That's the most important thing you're supposed to do. Educate him about Hashem. V'shinantam lavanecha. So a son is sort of automatically a student. And a student, a real student, is also a son. The Gemara says, Kol haloy mei ben chaveroi Torah kilu yoldoi. Someone who teaches somebody else's son Torah, it's as if he gave birth to him. And there Rabbi Nizal shows how the son, on one hand, represents a higher level, because he actually physically originates from the brain of the father, from the seed which originates from the brain. But on the other hand, the student also has certain advantages. And Rabbi Nizal elaborates on this very much over there. And he quotes the Gemara at the end, where the Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, how they were traveling together on a boat and they saw something awesome. And Rabbi Nizal shows there that Eliezer is the son. Eliezer was the son of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua was the student of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rabbi Nizal elaborates on this there, clarifying exactly what the differences are between the two, what the advantages and disadvantages of each one are. And he also relates it, that's called Dore Mala and Dore Mata, the upper level and lower level, and also relates it to two levels of associating with Hashem. There's the lower level, Kaviochel, which is referred to as Maloi Chol Ha'oretz Kevoidoi, that Hashem's Kevoid, Hashem's light, fills the entire world. It's found in flowers, it's found in rocks, in the most physical, the lowest level things. And at the same time, there's an expression where we're told that the highest angels, when they try to see Hashem, when they try to reach up to Hashem, they say, Aye mekoim kevoido, where is Hashem? We don't see anything. We're in the dark. We're totally in the dark, Kavyochum. So Aye mekoim kevoido refers to a very, very high level. Meloi choloretz kevoido refers to the people who are on the lowest possible level, in a sense, and yet still included within the cover of Hashem. So now Rab Nosson Zal says that Rabbi Nizal shows there that parnasa and money and wealth are received through the interaction and through the combination of ben and talmid, dore mala, dore mata, aye mekoim kevoidoi and meloi choloretz kevoidoi. Kitzrichim lecholalom uleyachdom ze boze, because it's our mission to blend these two together, to merge these two together. Again, that the son should be a student and the student should be a son. That the upper ones, the people who are very, very high, should know that they're very, very low. They should know that they're nothing. They think they're high, that the tzaddik shows them that they haven't even begun to begin understanding about Hashem. And at the same time, the people who are all the way on bottom, the tzaddik has the ability to make them feel as close to Hashem as you possibly could be. Ki af al pi she'ikra ha'he'ora b'dorei malo hu b'chinas ayei, because even though the type of light that's usually shown to those who are on the upper level, the dorei malo, is the light called ayei mekoim kevoidoi, they also have to be given a taste of Maloi Choloretz Kevoidoi, of the bottom level. And so too the reverse. So too the people who are on a very, very low level, even though their main connection to Hashem, the message that they're usually being given is the message of Maloi Choloretz Kevoidoi, Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Hokitsu Veranenu Shoich Neofor, wake up and sing, you who are lying in the dirt, Lo'oirer ulohokitz ulahachyois es kol hashoich neofor hamunochem bedyut ha'tachtoina moid moid, which means that the tzaddikim try to wake up and to inspire and to inject life into those who are in the dirt, those who are in the lowest levels. Afilu oisam shem betoy choretz mamish, even those who are literally in the ground, in the dirt, to show them that Hashem is still with them, they're still connected to Hashem, there's still holiness in them, because Hashem's light fills the entire world, it reaches down even where you are. And yet, even though that's the usual message that we're giving them, still, they also have to be given a taste sometimes of the aye mekoyim kevoidoi, bechinas mo, the level of what that the, which represents nothingness, a very high level, bechinas mechomis ma pishpashto ma yodato, as the angels say to each other, what do you see? What have you touched? What do you understand? You know, those who are on a super, super high spiritual level and yet acknowledging that compared to Hashem, we don't know nothing. We don't know, we don't see, we don't have anything. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Ayin loy roasa. No eye has ever seen, you know, the infinite light of Hashem, the Eden. Kedei sheyi Elohim yira. In order that they should be afraid. Here again, if you're going to tell a person all the time that Hashem loves you and Hashem is close to you and Hashem is with you, okay, then I'm great. Then I don't have to do anything. They have to be given a taste also of aye sometimes to recognize that you have no idea how big and great Hashem is. And therefore, in order to have a connection to Hashem, you have to try. You have to aspire. You have to try to go grow, to move up. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likutei Moran, where Rabbein Zal elaborates on this tremendously. Val yedei klolius ha'olamos, and by bringing together the worlds, the upper worlds and the lower worlds, shehu b'chinas klolius shnei ha'hasogos anal yachad, which means bringing together the aye mekoyim kevoidoi and the meloi choloretz kevoidoi, that combination is what generates parnosa. Kemavur Shom Kol Zehetev, as Rabbein Zal explains this over there, in the middle of that chapter in the Likutei Moran and towards the end, Rabbein Zal explains it very well. Ayin Shom Hetev Hetev. Study the Torah very well to get a clear picture of what we're describing here. Paragraph Beis. V'ze b'chinas ha-shvua she-tzrichen li-shova k'she-yesh ha-k'chosha b'nechad l'chaveroi. With this, we'll understand why the Torah tells us that when two Jews are in a litigation, they disagree. I did, you didn't. I paid you back, you didn't pay me back. This kind of thing. Then, in many cases, the rabbis impose a shvua. Swear that you didn't pay, he didn't pay back. Swear that you paid back. Ki ikar hasheker v'hakchosho nimshach mipegam shepoigeim bebechinas yichud uklolius shnei hasogosanal. Because the whole concept of lies and denials and disagreements and litigation implies something defective in uniting these two worlds, the upper and the lower. Shepoigeim v'oise pirud chas v'shalom b'neihem, whereby the people are messing up and they're causing a separation between upper and lower. Sheze ikar hapegam hasheker shehu harava tuma. This is the whole concept of a lie, falsehood, which is evil, which is impurity. Shemisham kol ha'avoinos v'apgamim sheboilam, which is the cause of all, the root of all sins in the world. Rachmanu litzlan. Ki be'emes ikar hu emuna haktoisha v'kiyum kol ha'torah kula benuya u'miyusedes al zeh. Because the truth is that our whole religion, our whole faith, and the fulfillment of the entire Torah is based on this. What is this? Lichloil shnei ha-hasogoi sanal yachad. The merging together of these two concepts, these two levels of understanding of Hashem, of relating to Hashem, Shehem Hasogas Maloi Choloretz Kevoidoi, Ve'ayem Ekoim Kevoidoi. Ki Hashem Yisporach, Sosim Vegalia. Because Hashem is hidden and revealed. Ve'oiraisa, Sosim Vegalia. And the Torah is hidden and revealed. Ukumashakosu Bezoyar HaKodesh, as the Zoyar HaKodesh elaborates on this. Ki hu yisporach ne'elam mitzad atzmoi, because regarding the essence of Hashem himself, he is totally hidden. We can't see, we don't know nothing at all about Hashem himself. V'nigle, and yet Hashem is revealed to us, he reveals himself to us, mitzad pe'uloisav, through his actions, through his creations. As we've written about this in other places in Likutei Halachos. This is the concept of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which we cannot pronounce. We do not say that name, showing that this is hidden from us. It's revealed. It's off limits for us. And then there's the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which we do say, and our whole life is built on that, on the Malchus of Hashem, revealing and glorifying and elevating and building the Malchus of Hashem. That's what it's all about. Al kein ikar hu emuna hakdoisha lehamin ki Hashem hu elokim. Therefore, the essence of our faith and religion is all about realizing that these two are one, the hidden and the revealed are one. Hashem and Elohim. Elohim is another form of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Malchus. Kama Shekosuv, as the Torah says, Ato Horeso Lodas, you Moshe Rabbeinu have taught the Jewish people and shown us, Ki Hashem Hu Hu Elohim, that these two are really one. Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elohim are really one. We've mentioned in the past from the Tikkuni Zohar that Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, the numerical value is 26. Chaf Vav. When you pronounce it, when you pronounce those letters, Chaf, it's as if it were written Chaf Pei. Vav, it's as if it were Vav and a comet's under it and another Vav. Inside Chaf Vav, you have Pei Vav. The filling out of the Chaf Vav, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Pei Vav. Pei Vav is 86, which is Elohim. The Elohim is inside, it's the filling out of, it's the reaching out of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ukamei Shekosuv, and as the Pasuk says, V'yodato Hayoim V'hashevoiso Elevavecho Ki Hashem Hu Hu Elohim B'shamayim imal, v'al oretz mitochas, einoi. You will understand today, and you will communicate to your heart that Hashem is Elohim, in heaven above and on earth below. Hainu klolius hasogas elyoinim v'tachtoinim. This pasuk is an example of this combination of the upper level, lower level, the Aye Mekoim Kivoidoi and the Maloi Choloretz Kivoidoi. Ki Hashem, because Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, Zebechinas Sisim Venelam. That represents that which is hidden. Bechinas Ze Shmi Le'olam. As the Pasuk says in Chumash, this is my name. Le'olam means eternally. But the Zohar HaKadosh says, if you look over there, the word Le'olam is written without a Vav. Ze Shmi Le'olam. This is my name to hide, to be hidden. Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei is represents the hiddenness of Hashem. Bechinas Hasogas Aye. That's the understanding of where, that's the concept of where is Hashem. I don't see, I don't know. Bechinas Ne'elam Venister, totally hidden. Bechinas Mechomis, Mepishpesh. Like the Zohar Kodesh says, the angels say, what do you see? What do you touch? What do you touch? Nothing. We have no connection at all. Velokim, whereas Hashem's name Elohim, Bechinas Hizgalus Kvoit Malchusi Yisporach. That represents the revelation of Hashem's kingdom. Bechinas Velokim Malki Mikedem. Elokim, Hashem is my king from way back. Bechinas ki melech kol haaretz elokim. And as the pasuk says, Hashem rules over the entire aretz. Aretz means earth, earthliness, down below, down here. Down here it's elokim. It's melech. Shezeo bechinas hasogas dorimato. That's the concept of the understanding of Hashem, of those who are on the lowest level. Bechinas meloi chol oretz kevoidoi. To them, we tell them that the entire earth has the covet of Hashem. Bechinas viodato hayoim v'sheivos elavecho ki Hashem hu elikim b'shamayim imal. Ze bechinas dorimato, dorimalo, v'al horetz mitoch, shu bechinas dorimato, ki akoil echot, because it's all really one. This is the introduction. Rav Nosson Zal is still going to clarify and build a foundation which he's going to use to explain how things work in the money matters, the whole discussion of Chesh HaMishpat. We'll hold it over here for now.